Thankful for that young man, Brother Toplady. Lord gave him 38 years on this earth, and it was used mightily, wasn't it? Taught him some things. He rejoiced. I hope this morning we can make a joyful noise and that we can leave this pit of sin and worthlessness that we call this world and all the cares of it and the things we cling so tightly to, and for a moment, I may preach for 30 minutes. I hope Lord bless you for 30 seconds. That'd make for a good week, wouldn't it? For a moment, we can revere His works and just see what He's done. Here in Psalm 66, it's not said that David wrote this, but he likely did. But it's any of us could say these things. And it kind of repeats itself a few times. I want to focus more so on these first few verses, verses 1 through 7. Psalm 66, verse 1 says, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious." It says, make a joyful noise. Do you know that's one word in the original text? Make a joyful noise. One word. And you know what it means? It means split the ears. Make a noise that'll just bust people's eardrums. We call that hollering where I'm from. Yell out from the belly button. I mean, way down deep. Make a joyful noise. And you know, to make, that's putting forth effort, isn't it? That's not just showing up and laying there like a wet towel. That's to put forth some effort. David said that in Psalm 103:1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Every fiber of my being." Split the ears. And everybody, not just me, all ye lands. Don't you think that the world ought to, out of a debt of gratitude, thank Him? Really? I mean, do you think that at all? People ought to praise Him? That He's worthy of being praised? I didn't even make a sentence in. I've got to tell you this. If somebody asked you, men or you women wouldn't get as much trouble, men would. You men, tell me about your wife. And you said, well, she's this tall and she's got this color hair and her eyes are... Yeah, her eyes are this color. You got to double check, you know. And she reads this kind of book. And no, tell me about her. Tell me something about those are facts. Anybody can tell you that. What's her middle name? Yeah, the birth certificate can tell you that. Tell me about her. If somebody said, tell me about your God. Well, we believe Scriptures alone, faith alone, Christ alone. Once saved, always saved. Election. What would we tell about a person? Would we tell facts that some old piece of paper could tell you? Or do we tell about a person we've dealt with? If we know Him and we love Him, don't you want everybody to love Him? Paul asked those women laborers with him in the gospel to help them. I have some laborers that are female. Help them. I love them. You ought to love them too. I want all the lands. Do you want all the lands to hear this? If we do, we'll do everything we can for it. To sing forth honor of His name, not our own. Not our own. We're not saved by any other name. It's His name. But we sing forth honor of His name. His name. Everybody and their brother wants awards and accolades and recognition. Do you know what I've done for this place? Do you know what I've given up? Do you know what I've sacrificed? Do you know how many years I've dedicated to this, or I founded this, and I started that, and it was hard? And why don't we say forth the praises of His name? Why don't we say the Lord did that? Because that's who did it, right? Or are we just rebels against the holy God still? We know better. We know better. That creation's in us to know those things. This is joyful news. It says, make His praise glorious, not man's praise glorious. Talk about His name. Talk about His praise. And make it glorious. That's joyful, and that's refreshing to hear about the Lord to poor, needy sinners. Other people, just some old fella drowning on, I can sleep right through it. nodding off and rebelling and fishing. I got some soccer tournaments to go to this weekend. Important things. Needy sinners want to hear about his name being praised. They do. Proverbs 25 says, as cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Oh, man. You've been real thirsty and not drank water, not just water, but cold water. You can just feel it go down you, can't you? And it wakes you up. Woo! You want to make a joyful noise. That's the same thing as this good news from a far country. If we hear the Lord's people rejoice in it, they do. That's good news. That's worthy of making noise for and singing and praising God for, isn't it? If we'd have kept reading there in 1 Timothy this morning, it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That means no matter what, you accept it. Like them two apostles told that fellow, said, you look at me. You got anything for me? Yeah, I got something for you. Look at me. Accept this. Bow to it. Believe it. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But don't you just know it all, Paul? He said, of whom I'm chief. I'm chief. He started out his sojourn thinking he was a little bit better. He knew what he was, but he said, I'm less all the apostles. And then he grew up and he said, I'm less all the saints. And then he grew up some more. He matured. He became an old believer, not a young babe, but not a young man. And he said, I'm the chief of sinners. Well, that's going down. Yeah, that's growing in grace, isn't it? That's a good thing. David said that in Psalm 40 we looked at a few weeks ago. But I am poor and I am needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Lord thinketh upon me. Verse 3. Say unto God. That's one thing to say something to people and write it down in a diary somewhere. God looks on the heart. That's who we're dealing with. Holy God on His throne. You speak to Him. Well, I told so-and-so. Don't matter if you told so-and-so. God has to make us honest before Him. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. How terrible thou art. Does that mean He's mean and bad? No. Revered. Reverend. Full of awe. Awesome. That's what we say nowadays. All of your works are terrible. They're to be revered. Remember grace? That's unmerited favor from our view. It's earned. It's merited by Christ, isn't it? That was His work. That's His working. That's His doing. It says, how terrible are thy works. How wonderful and great are thy works. Go up to any child of God and you say, what you've done has just been magnificent. And I said, well, thank you. You know, I got up early this morning and no, that's the Lord did it. Wasn't me. If there's anything good to come of it, He did it. They'll praise His works, won't they? His works. Do you know we're saved by works? That perk you up? Now you with me, ain't you? We are. We're saved by works. Not of our own. That law had to be fulfilled. He said in Matthew 5, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you that heaven and earth pass, not one jot nor one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till it be fulfilled. At all. The part, you don't even know what the law is. You don't know it. List them. What's that Levitical? How many are there? 600. Okay, you got the number right. Tell them to me. Sit down for 3 hours. Write them out in order. And then agree with it. Oh, I know people don't like building codes. God's got some building codes in there. You better have a railing on your roof. Don't you ever eat a medium well steak. You'll die and go to hell forever. That's who we're dealing with. And this one came and fulfilled it. And he said, Lord looks on His people and says, look, perfect, Bob. Well done. You did perfect your whole life. Because He's seen Christ on you. That blood on you. Seeing His work. It said in Matthew 11, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's working. That's... you're laboring. You're using energy to accomplish a task. He said, stop. Well, I'm just wore out. No joke. Quit working. And I'll give you rest. How do you rest? When you stop working. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Don't learn catechisms and doctrines. And you'll learn that. And so that's an easy way to chew that, eat that elephant one bite at a time. But learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden's light. Yoke fellows, as Paul said. Rest. Calm down. Lord's on his throne. Verse 3. Psalm 66, verse 3. Say unto God, how terrible are thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Through your power, the greatness of your power, not some mediocre power. This is the potentate. This is the authority. Not an authority, not a power. This is the power. Through his power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Who's his enemies? Has it ever been you? You ain't going to be his friend until he shows you you're his enemy first. We were enemies. This is talking about us. And he said, his people, we was enemies. They shall be submitted, and they'll submit themselves to you. This will be a blessing to you. Turn to Romans 5. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than now being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, did you hate God? I mean, enemies, go to war. I don't want to hear nothing from him, or I want to attack him, or I want to do whatever. I went to church my whole life. Yeah, I've been saved my whole life. That's too long. John the Baptist had the Holy Ghost from the womb. I don't read to nobody else, and he's the greatest man born a woman, wasn't he? Enemies. For while we were yet enemies, when we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also glory in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We were enemies. And while we were enemies, and while we were sinners, he loved us anyway. He loved the unlovable. And then the Father sent his Son to live for him and to die for him and be raised again for him. You just see love. You're just sitting to think about that. That's something, isn't it? You talk about grace. That ain't a definition no more. That's an act of a holy God. What a thought. Back in our text there in Psalm 66, verse 3. Say unto God, how frightening, how awe-inspiring and reverend, how terrible are thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. They submit themselves willingly. Willingly. Well, how are we going to do that? Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. When the Lord's power comes, his great power, if he comes to us in power. Paul said, we preach that gospel. Well, I ain't a fool. I know we preached it in power because you received it in power. We saw what happened. I can tell the difference between a rooster and a dinosaur. I tell the difference between somebody that loves this gospel and is delighted in Christ and somebody that don't. He said, came you in power. And by his power, we're made willing. We willingly submit. You accept the Lord after he's accepted you in Christ? Of course you do. You accept his word. You believe his word. You surrender. You rest. Oh, well, now you get to rest. Now it's got to be by his power. What's going to settle the mind and settle the body? He has to do it. Stop thinking about stuff and calm down. I can't. He has to do that, don't we? What a power. That amazing power. The power to save, the power to keep, and the power to conform. Lord saved us. That's amazing. Lord can keep his people. He won't lose one. That's terrible. That's amazing. That's to be reverent, isn't it? And he's going to conform those people to the spirit an image. That's what they call the spitting image. It's because people talk too fast in Appalachia. The spirit and the image of his darling son. Be made just like him. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to get out from underneath the law. How many people want to be made like Christ? I want to be without sin. I want to think what he thinks. I want to like the things he likes. I want to talk about what he wants to talk about, not what I want to talk about. I want him to teach me, not me teach him something. There's a difference. Chickens and dinosaurs, it's plain, isn't it? Words mean things. What power. There in Romans 1, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." This is a true gospel. Go read Galatians. He said, there's another gospel that's not another. And those two another's are not the same word. There's one that's wildly different. And you think it's pretty close. Well, that's close. There's only a little bit of leaven in it. How much leaven's enough? How much sin do you need to have is okay for you to have on you to stand in front of a holy God in judgment? A speck? A spot? A blemish? No, there's one gospel. And Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of that gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." This good news in Christ, that's God, that's power, buddy. That's power. We'd sing about that, wouldn't we? William Cowper said, "When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save." We know this now. How do you think we're going to sing then? If that's precious to us now, that's going to be, you talk about bliss, eternal bliss. This will be for eternity. Did you know that? Verse 4 says, "All the earth shall worship thee, shall sing unto thee, and they shall sing unto thy name." Selah. Take a pause. Stop doing what you're doing and think about that. Think about it. All the earth will worship thee. They're all going to sing unto you. And they're going to sing to your name. That's going to happen. That's eternity. That's when this whole world's wrapped up and done. Revelation 21 says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first and heaven and the first earth passed away." That stuff's gone. That stuff's gone. Peter said, "Nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." That's the Lord, our righteousness. And nothing but acts from a holy nature's in the whole place. That new heaven and that new earth is going to sing to his name and split ears. Loud. Real loud. Have something worth singing about. That's so for eternity for the believer. But it's just sealess. You stop and think about that. And I stopped and thought about that a long time. That's going to be the new heaven and new earth, isn't it? But I tell you what, he talks about his enemies some. That's going to be in that day of judgment too. It is. All will bow before the King of Kings. All. And the child of God would have it no other way. Have it no other way. We'll know that more perfectly then. But that's so. That's so. Paul wrote to that church at Philippi and said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, the things of heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. To the glory. The Father purposed all this. The Son performed it and purchased everything. And the Holy Ghost came to us and proclaimed that to us. We believed it. We said, that's right. That's so. Every knee's going to say that to us now. But in that final day, every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. To know him now and to confess him now in this lifetime, that's just proof of life. That's just the earnest. That's the down payment. You know that now. It said in Romans 10:9, "If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Lord, there'll be many in that day that say, "Lord, Lord," he said, "I don't know you. You know how many good things we did for you? That's their works, isn't it? You know what we did for you? We cast out demons in your name." He says, "Leave, depart from me. I know you not. I love you not." And then his people say, he said, "You clothed me when I was naked. You came visit me in prison. I was in the hospital. You gave me something to drink when I was thirsty." They said, "When did we see you ever do these things?" He said, "You done it to the least of these. You done it to me." Confess in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. The Lord looks on the heart. We can trick men and women in this world. We can say all the right things and show up at the right time, be in the right places in the right uniform. God looks on the heart. And we can be in the wrong place at the wrong time in the wrong uniform, say the wrong things, and blessed be God, he looks on the heart, and that's his heart. If there's a new creation, he gave it. Look to that. Don't look at me. Selah. See, you got to take some time. You got to pause. Don't rush through these things. The only place a human will truly worship is at the throne of a holy, powerful, sovereign Lord. You know sovereign's not in the Bible? We know what it is, though, don't we? It has to do with reign. He rules. He reigns in the hearts of people and in this land and everything else. People will negotiate and they will bargain with someone that's like them. But worship can only be done to one that's truly worthy. If you don't know the one that's truly worthy, you ain't never worshiped a day in your life. If you don't believe me, come and see. Come and see. Look at verse 5. Come and see. What? The works of God. Let me tell you about a man that told me everything about me. You come hear him. Come listen to him. And that man, they came, didn't they? From that harlot. She wasn't much look at. Been married so many times. And everybody knew her. And she said, "This, you just don't listen to me. You just come listen to him." And they did. And they said, "Now, we came here just because of you. We liked you good enough or whatever. We didn't have nothing going on that day. Pick a reason. But we've heard him. Him. Now we believe. Now we believe. Come and see the works of God. Not our works. His works. He is terrible, fearful, reverend in his doings toward the children of men." What does he do towards the children of men? Just enemies. Born of Adam. Fallen. Unable and unwilling to serve God, to bow to him, to anything. What does he do for them? Verse 6. He turned the sea into dry. And we went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. We were surrounded. We ain't got there yet in Exodus, but y'all know the story. There's a big mountain there and an army coming, Pharaoh's army and all his chariots. Those are the ones that move fast in the sea. What did the Lord do? Just stay right there where I put you. And he parted that sea. And it wasn't through, I thought that, I was walking when I was thinking of this. If that was muddy, if you had 4 feet of silt at the bottom of that thing, you couldn't walk through it. I've been stuck in the mud before, lost boots and everything else. Dry ground. Dry ground. Even the evidence of that sea is gone. You just walk through like it's hard ground. He's done the exit. He brought his people out, didn't he? That's a troubled sea. If we'd have kept reading, I quoted you Revelation 21 earlier. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. The sea's gone. What does that mean? Troubled sea. Isaiah 57 says, "But the wicked are like a troubled sea which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." Just churning things up. That sea's gone. He's brought us through that. We walk on dry ground. We're brought out. Exodus. And he takes the sons of men and makes them the sons of God. We have pride, and some people do. Some people hate their parents. But if somebody has some good parents and respectable mothers and fathers, you take pride in who your parents were. It's like, you know whose child I am? That's nothing. He takes the son of men, makes them sons of God. He says, "You're my children." In verse 6, there did we rejoice in him. When we're brought through, when everything seems impossible, it's impossible with men. God, all things are possible. When we're brought through, we're brought out, there we'll rejoice in him. There. Verse 7, he ruleth by his power forever. This isn't a king that's going to get 100 years out of, maybe 110 years out of, or 75 years out of. No, he ruled forever. He's on his throne. His eyes behold the nations, all nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Stop. Think about that. This power he has, he ruleth by his power forever. Forever. We say that all the time. I wish the Lord make that effectual in our hearts. God's on his throne. Nothing gets past him. Nobody's sneaking up on him and pulling one over on him. He's on his throne. If something comes to pass, it's for his glory and our good. I was a preacher years ago. His son was killed in a war. He was well known in that town, and he had enemies all through there too. And somebody came to him and they said, "When your son died, where was your God?" And the Lord gave him words. Looked him dead in the eye. You know what he said? Some of y'all have heard this before. He said, "The same place he was when his son died, on his throne." That's true, isn't it? Where was God when God turned his back on God? On his determinate counsel, on his high holy command, sitting right there on his throne. Everything was right there for his glory. Nebuchadnezzar was brought to see that everything comes to pass by his power and his purpose, and it's for his glory and our good. That's when his right mind returned to him. He said in Daniel 4:34, "At the end of my days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing." Nothing. "Well, I like so-and-so. They're nothing, because I've seen him. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou?" Nobody can let God. They don't know God if they think they can let God. None can keep them from it. "We're going to pray till he stops doing it." You're going to bow is what you're going to do. He says, "At the same time, my reason returned to me. My pure mind was stirred." That's when I was in my right mind, seeing him on his throne. This is going to be proved to the child of God. We got a little bit of time. This is the hard part. Okay? Like, will you be saved? "Well, I want faith to believe God." Well, if he gives you faith to believe him, he's going to prove that he gave it to you and it ain't your doing. And it's going to be hard. I'm going to tell you that. The road ahead is rough. And that's right for me to tell you. I have to warn people. The Lord said that. Troubles and tribulations coming. That's going to happen. It's so. Look at verse 8. Psalm 66, verse 8. "Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." How do you try silver? How do you make silver pure? Well, you get it real hot. And then that dross rises to the top, all the impurities, and you scrape it off. I worked there at a machine shop for a while for John Chapman, and they have Babbitt. It's an alloy, soft metal. And you heat it up by 800-900 degrees. It turns to liquid, and they make these bearings and things. But when you heat that metal up, that dross comes to the top. You throw some stuff in there, and it clings to it, and it rises to the top, and you scrape it off. And you can let it cool back down and cover it. You can seal it, hermetically seal it. And you know what happened the next day when you heat that back up? Dross is going to come up. Like it's a never-ending pit. It just keeps coming out. The Lord's brought us through these things, and he's proved us. If he gives faith to believe him, he's going to prove it. He's going to show you it's his faith, not something you mustered up. How's that going to be? Through fiery trials. Through fiery trials. That's when the rubber meets the road. That's hard messages, hard truths, hard providence, whatever it is. And I mean, rip your heart out of your chest, wet your pillow, your couch is soaking wet, shave your head, put sackcloth and ashes on and hit the ground. And you're either going to worship him or curse him. And if we worship him, we'll say he did it. It's his power. Now that's, I won't believe him. And he's going to prove to me I believe him if he's made me believe him, that it's his doing. I'm going to warn you ahead of time. It's going to hurt, but you're going to see him. You'll be all right. It's going to be okay. "Thou broughtest us into the net," verse 11. "Thou hast laidest afflictions upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water." We've been through it. Some of y'all have been through it. Some of y'all are going through it right now. Burning flames of trials and feel like you're just covered with waves and men in chariots is pounding on top of your head. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. You brought us out, Lord, just like that you did Egypt through that sea. You brought us out of this to a wealthy place. Wealthy place. Where are all them riches found? All them blessings found in Him? You brought us to Christ's feet, Lord. That's the wealthiest place in the universe or whatever's bigger than that. I don't know. That's it. Ain't nothing more valuable than that, is there? You brought us through all that to bring us right to you. Bring us right to you. That one writer said, some through go through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire. Not everybody's trial is the same. It's like a thumbprint. The Lord tailor made every trial that we go through just for His child. There ain't nothing wrong with it. It's perfect. He's too wise and too holy and too pure and too powerful for it to go any other way than He purposed. It's tailor-made for His child. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow. But God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. He leads His little children along. He did this. He did this. Verse 13. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I'll go to where your people gather, Lord, and I'm going to sacrifice burnt offerings. What's that? The lips. What comes out of your mouth? You just say something right? That's the mouth speaks as the heart is. I'll tell you everything you've given to me, all your words. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come in here. Come in here. See, that keeps repeating. You go through it and you come out of it. If you're going to live longer, I'll tell you, it's going to happen again. We'll be doing real good and we'll forget the Lord. And we'll be real comfortable and He'll make us uncomfortable. And then we'll get disturbed and He'll comfort us. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. When we go through that several times, I said, well, I can tell you what His word says, and I can tell you what He done for me. I don't know how it's going to come to pass. I don't know how He's going to make this happen. But if you're His, you'll see Him high and lifted up at the end of it, and you'll thank Him. You'll thank Him. You say, that's impossible. Yeah, with man it is. Not with Him. I cried unto Him with my mouth, verse 17, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me, and He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercies from me. Bless Him. He's merciful. Remember what I just looked at last hour? Mercy. We didn't get what we did deserve. He hasn't turned that away. He's changed not. He's the Lord our God who changes not. And that's why us sons of Jacob aren't consumed. I told you before, I forget sometimes. You get to reading things. And this is a song. This is a song. They sang this. Wouldn't that be a good song to sing? The Lord makes us truly sing it. Be blessed with it. Let's pray again. Father, bring your people to the feet of Christ. Lord, make all praise Him. We know that day of judgment will come, and now we can't bear the thoughts of it. We'll magnify His name and sing His praises and the good things, the good works that He's done, Lord. Thank you for revealing this gospel to us now. Thank you for revealing Christ in us and make us sing His praises. Give us the ability to be powerful in your people, Lord, to tell them what good things the Lord's done for us. Tell them what Christ has done for us and who we were when He did it. Enemies, unable, unwilling. Lord, and do everything just as you said you would. Because of Christ and His glory, we ask these things. Amen.